Hello, FTR State of Freight podcast subscribers, and welcome to the Trucking Market Update. The State of Freight podcast is where we will share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. For details, downloads, and a listen to all episodes of the FTR podcast, go to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. In this week's Trucking Market Update, Avery Weiss, FTR's Vice President of Trucking, will be providing industry news, spot market indicators, energy prices, economic indicators, employment data, and a look at the week ahead. A link to the graphs and data that Avery reviews in this podcast will be available for download at www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly trucking market update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 6 for the week of April 1st, 2019. To avoid distractions, let me state at the outset there are no April Fool's joke in this episode. Sorry. Okay, so before we jump into the data, I want to highlight a couple of news items from last week, especially the news that the White House is now reviewing the Department of Transportation's proposal on hours of service reform. If DOT and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are proceeding according to what was hinted at in the advance notice of proposed rulemaking from last year, we could see several changes to the rules to add flexibility in driver schedules. For over-the-road operations, perhaps the most significant of those changes would be a return to a more flexible use of sleeper berths to satisfy rest requirements. The Trump administration's intent really is quite clear here. It intends to loosen the regulations. The question really is when. White House reviews of draft regulations can take months, but they also can be as short as a few weeks if it's a high priority. However, even if a proposed rule came out by May, and that would be very aggressive, we probably would be looking at the fourth quarter of the year before we saw a final rule. Then, because of all the driver, carrier, and roadside inspector training needed and the necessary reprogramming of ELDs, we would probably be looking at 6 to 9 months after that for implementation. So really would not have much effect at all on the 2020 freight market. Now, that all assumes that the rule survives the inevitable court challenge by safety advocates. So it's not something that's going to happen next week or next month. Again, it is probably at best a late 2020 rule in terms of taking effect. So another news, just real quickly, the American Trucking Associations and two motor carriers have appealed a federal court's ruling that litigation against Rhode Island's truck-only toll regime could not proceed in federal court. ATA and the carriers challenge that the state's truck-only scheme discriminates against interstate trucking companies and impedes the flow of interstate commerce. Okay, so moving on to the spot market. Overall, things got a bit tighter last week. The market demand index, the ratio of loads available to trucks available in the truckstop.com load matching system, was significantly higher than the week before, but in line with seasonal expectations. The weekly broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, rose more than 3 cents, right in line with the five-year average. So load availability had been tracking right in line with the five-year average, but the increase was stronger than it had been in recent weeks. Meanwhile, truck availability is still a bit higher than a year ago and far below the five-year average. We know that there has been an increase in overall trucking capacity in the past year, so the fact that we aren't seeing that reflected in truck availability in the spot market suggests that capacity is moving more toward contract freight. Drilling down to the three segments we review each week, the market demand index for dry van was a bit higher, but rates barely budged and are still hanging out at a two-year low. The spot market in refrigerated continues to soften, with 4 straight weeks of decline in the MDI and a rate per mile excluding fuel that was down almost 6 cents to the lowest level in more than 2 years. Reefer load availability is tracking right on the five-year average, but truck availability is below even last year. Again, this probably reflects a healthy contract freight market that is keeping carriers out of the spot market. To the degree that the spot market tightened at all last week, it's because of the flatbed market. The market demand index for flatbed was sharply higher last week as load availability rose and truck availability shrunk. Directionally, this is in keeping with the seasonal pattern, but it was more pronounced than what might have been expected. Also, the flatbed spot rate per mile was up nearly 5 cents, while van was essentially flat and reefer was down significantly, as we discussed. So to recap, the overall spot market tightened a bit last week, but almost all of that was attributed to the flatbed market. Okay, so let's move on and talk about fuel and the petroleum markets. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude had been flirting with $60 a barrel, and on March 29th, it topped that threshold. Then, on April 1st, it kept going to $61.59 a barrel. Meanwhile, the price of diesel for the week ended April 1 was essentially flat, easing just 2/10 of a cent to $3.078. As we discussed last week, this has been a very stable year so far for diesel prices, but if crude prices keep rising, that will change, especially now that we're headed into a busier season for freight. Okay, so let's move on to economic indicators, and we have quite a few of them to talk about this week.
Before Avery covers the latest indicators, I wanted to take a very brief moment to tell you about the FTR Transportation Conference this September 10th through the 12th in Indianapolis. Registration is now open, and we are also offering early bird savings if you register now. We recently took a look at the 2018 survey results, and we are excited to announce that over the past 3 years, 99.8% of those that took the survey said that they would recommend the conference to colleagues. The overall feedback from all of our attendees speaks for itself, but you can also take a look at more feedback from attendees at www.ftrconference.com. As the only conference that brings together all the different aspects of the freight transportation world into one place, the FTR Transportation Conference is the premier forecasting event of the year. To find out more about the FTR Transportation Conference or to register with early bird savings now, go to www.ftrconference.com.
Okay, so let's move on to economic indicators, and we have quite a few of them to talk about this week. First, the closely watched ISM Manufacturing Index. The index generally is down from the 14-year highs posted last summer, but it's still solidly in expansion territory and improved from February to March. The new orders and production components of the ISM index were stronger as well. So this reinforces a picture that we have seen pretty consistently since the end of Q3 2018. Manufacturing isn't growing quite as strongly as it had been, but it remains solid and will continue to spur freight demand for months to come at the very least. Another metric we follow closely is the total business inventories to sale ratio, which ticked up once again to 1.39, and that's the highest since August of 2017. Normally, we associate falling inventories to sales ratios with an acceleration of freight demand, so the recent increases typically would concern us. However, while the higher ratio isn't great, it certainly could reflect a distortion related to the higher tariffs that had been expected to kick in at the beginning of this year. Although that didn't happen, the supply chain had already pulled forward significant imports, much of which presumably was being held in inventory. So if that's the case, we would then expect to see the inventories to sales ratio start falling in February and beyond. If that does not happen, then we might be seeing true excess inventories that could spell weaker freight demand in the near term. Let's move on to talk about retail and food service sales, which were down slightly in February and have not recovered from the sharp seasonally adjusted drop we saw in December. Year-over-year growth also is much lower than what we saw last summer. The weakness could be an early sign of a slowing labor market. We had a weak figure for February in jobs, so we'll be looking closely at what Friday's March jobs report will tell us. Okay, so let's look at a more reassuring indicator, new home sales. They were up significantly month over month in February and about flat year over year. And that's frankly an improvement over recent history. The picture is similar to what we talked about last week regarding existing home sales. The residential construction market has been fairly weak, but stronger sales of new and existing homes could change that. One development that could be spurring more sales is more attractive financing. The average fixed rate for a 30-year mortgage dropped sharply last week and stands now just at over 4%. We would expect that if that trend continued, we would see buying also continuing to grow, and ultimately we would see some strength in construction, assuming, of course, job creation and wage growth continues. Speaking of construction, the total value of construction put in place was a bit higher month over month and year over year in February. The strength was mostly in non-residential construction, but Census Bureau revisions to data from December and January also paint a much improved picture for residential construction relative to where it stood in the previous construction spending report. Finally, let's talk about international trade. The Census Bureau revised downward its initial estimate of the trade deficit for December, but it was still quite large. However, there was a significant reduction in January due to both higher exports and lower imports. One factor might have been a lessening of the impacts from the U.S.-China dispute, but we also saw the lowest exports to China since September 2010. So that's it for the economic indicators. But before we summarize this week's market, I wanted to highlight one more thing. On Friday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released its annual Occupational Employment Statistics Survey results based on data collected in May of 2018. This is the one time each year that the Bureau of Labor Statistics looks at data at the occupational level as opposed to the industry level. So it's quite interesting to review. We could do an entire podcast on this stuff, and maybe we will at some point, but I thought I would talk about just a few things. For hire trucking in 2018 represented 48.9% of payroll employment for heavy truck and tractor trailer drivers. This isn't particularly surprising. It's always generally in this range. Consider that the next largest industry for heavy truck drivers, which is wholesale trade, employs only about a fourth of the number of drivers that are employed in for hire trucking. But this 48.9% is the lowest in many years and results from faster growth in certain other sectors. I'm looking at broad sectors here, manufacturing, construction, mining, etc., except for some of the transportation-specific sectors like couriers and messengers and warehousing and storage, which employ significant numbers of heavy truck drivers. So comparing 2018 to 2017, we see that by far the greatest growth in payroll employment for heavy and tractor-trailer drivers was warehousing and storage, where employment was up a staggering 17.8% in just 1 year. However, this isn't completely surprising, as warehousing and storage has been one of the nation's fastest-growing industries overall. We also saw strong growth in rental and leasing, which also isn't that surprising given the unexpectedly strong freight market in 2017 and 2018. Another data point I find interesting is the density of trucking jobs. Here I don't mean the largest number of truck driver jobs. That tends to revolve around major metropolitan areas. Rather, I'm interested in seeing the areas where heavy truck drivers represent a big share of the area's overall payroll employment. The metric I'm looking at specifically is the number of heavy and tractor trailer drivers per 1,000 jobs. If we look at the top cities in both metropolitan and rural areas for truck driver density, we see a few patterns. First, Southwest Missouri and Northwest Arkansas, home of Prime Inc., Walmart, J.B. Hunt, among others, is a big area for truck drivers. Another is the Permian Basin, with Odessa and Midland, Texas, for example, seeing a high concentration. And as with Prime in Joplin, Missouri, which was number one, we see the home bases of some major trucking companies having high concentration of truck drivers. So that would include Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where CRST is based, Chattanooga, which is home to both U.S. Express and Covenant, and Lincoln, Nebraska, which is home to Creek Carriers and also quite close to Omaha-based Werner Enterprises. I haven't even touched on wage data in this discussion, so look for that in some future podcast. Okay, so let's recap this episode's key points. The spot market is firming up a bit, especially flatbed. Reefer is still softer, but a late Easter could be a factor in that. Crude finally hit that $60 per barrel threshold. Diesel prices are still virtually flat, but expect that to change in the near future. The ISM Manufacturing Index strengthened slightly in March, but is still solidly in expansion territory. The inventories to sales ratio was the highest since August of 2017, but temporary trade issues could be to blame. Retail sales were basically flat month over month in February and down from the recent peak in October. New home sales were higher in February, just as existing home sales were. Mortgage rates dropped sharply to just over 4%. Seasonally adjusted figures for construction put in place generally were stronger in February. And the trade deficit was smaller in January, but exports to China were lowest since September 2010. Finally, let's take a peek at what's in store for Episode 7. We don't have as many indicators to cover, really just the March jobs report and durable goods orders, but both are important. As mentioned a couple of times earlier, after a weak February jobs report, the March jobs report will be especially interesting. And I'm sure we'll have a few more things to talk about. Later this week, I'll be attending the Home Delivery World Expo in Philadelphia. It's basically a conference about the final mile, although one of my colleagues thought that Home Delivery World was about midwifery. So we've been referring to it as the midwife conference here. Anyway, that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, Episode 6. As always, if you listen to this podcast only in audio, you can watch it synced with the slides, or you can download the graphics that I covered at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope you will join us. You will join us next week.
I'd like to give a big thank you to Avery Weiss for sharing these insights with us on the State of Freight podcast. The Trucking Market Update will be published each week, and we are also working to add rail update episodes and an audio version of the monthly State of Freight Today that is currently available as a PDF. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on iTunes or Stitcher, and please share the podcast with colleagues. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.